This morning's text is found in your pew Bible on page 851, if you wish to follow with me. We will be reading Matthew's account of the Transfiguration in chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. Again, it's found on 851, if you wish to follow along this morning. And as Matthew records it, it reads like this: "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is well that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 booths here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah.' He was still speaking when, lo, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.' When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, 'Rise and have no fear.' But when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, 'Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead.'" This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me again? Holy God, we are thankful to be here this morning, to be with you as we consider the Transfiguration. Now, as we pause, speak to our hearts and our minds, so that the mystery and the glory and what is happening upon the mountain that Peter and James and John witnessed may become part of our lives too, and that we can share that with another. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. When I was a Boy Scout, my father and I climbed a mountain. Above the tree line, the view was magnificent. Things which were large and meaningful down in the valley looked completely different from an elevated perspective. From up there, it appeared that I was in a different world on that sticky June morning. Vegetation was gone there. The New Mexico sun beat down upon myself and my comrades, forcing us to concentrate upon our destination. As each step, I grew thirstier and more tired. All around me, the ground, which was lush and fertile just an hour ago, with great shade trees and seemingly never-ending switchbacks, where we watched for bears and decided who would be left behind if we found said bear. It was me. Now, up there was filled with sun-bleached rocks, no bigger than the size of your fist. They marked a change in path. Now we go straight to the mountain. We go up. So we went up. As my head crested the top of the mountain, I had an unexpected experience. I felt the wind pick up. Could almost blow you over if you weren't aware of your surroundings. Life up there was different. The change in perspective was complete. I pulled on my green sweatshirt and took in the panoramic view. It was at that precise moment that I realized everything looks different on the mountaintop. The world I knew wasn't gone. I just saw it differently now. Well, a change in perspective is often greeted with uncertainty or anxiety. The unknown is unknown for a good reason. Limited as it may be, there is a sense of glory when the perspective changes, and a mystery that we can live into in that moment, at that place. The Transfiguration of Jesus, as we begin our Lenten time together, whether we feel we've been to the mountaintop or not, Whether you feel you've climbed appropriately high enough in your spiritual walk or not, even whether you think you are worthy to be there upon that mountaintop with Jesus or not, recognizing the glory up there, the mystery we live into up there, is the call of this passage for us today. Glory happens when we witness God in moments that exceed expectation. Those moments seem to demand a response, those glory moments, but every response I attempt to give upon that mountain feels inadequate or feels very human, like I'm trying to put a spiritual round peg to a spiritual square hole. Moments on mountaintops and moments where the human response at best is limited are often moments where God's power overwhelms everything, pushes aside the human veil, and just reveals. It's just there. This is the moment in Matthew 17 when God comes to us primarily not as just a teacher or a redeemer, but to show and to radiate his very self, the eternal triune love that he has for us. This is the moment on the mountaintop. All the pre-transfiguration learning that the disciples did as they walked and lived with Jesus in Galilee now becomes a moment of revelation where Jesus' divinity is witnessed. It overwhelms them, if you were listening to Peter's responses. They don't know what to do with it. It is glory they live into. It takes the simple transactional mindset of the world we live with and live in and turns everything we think we understand and believe around in a divinely conceived of change. The sacred space, the sacred practices, the moments of glorification become avenues for our devotion up there on that mountain with God. Whether we think we're worthy of it or not, whether we understand it or not, whether we think we've worked hard enough for it or not. While the disciples to this point have understood Jesus' ministry as working for the people of their community, they fed them, they've healed them, they've loved them, they've watched him touch as many as he could. Now, in that glory moment, they're just called to be there. Just be there. To witness, to enter the glory as much as is humanly possible and dwell there. It's the same challenge you and I have as we begin Lent together. Just be there. I wonder if you can do that. Be there without doing anything. From entering the glory of God on the mountaintop, the disciples fall on their face. I would too. And are immediately confronted in Matthew's account of this story with a mystery. Mark and Luke handle it differently. Matthew gives them a mystery. As I have said before, mystery follows the glory because of the change in perspective that's happened. The mystery moment specifically comes in verse 5 when the great voice from heaven, God's earthly voice, if you will, speaks to both the prostrate and the building disciples. They fall to their faces and decide their human response, or Peter does at least, is to do something. I've got to build something. Something has to happen. I have to be involved. But instead, mystery asks us to consider, perhaps even silently, what God is asking of us as we move forward off the mountain. We'll have to leave that place eventually. What will that mean for us? This is the moment. This moment is felt in the words of God when he says, "This is my beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him," the voice says. It is, of course, God's voice, and it reaches out to the disciples in an attempt to calm their mindsets, their working for hearts. It invites them to stop doing everything, to just be there and reach out. These words are echoes from what has occurred in Jesus' life already at the Jordan. In that moment, Matthew's gospel records God saying as Jesus is baptized, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." In that way, something about the moment, This moment, his transfigurations moment, is tied to the hearer's hearts to reflect upon. It's the mystery the church is called to consider as the body and as individuals. On this moment, with this revelation of God before them, they do not need to do anything besides just listen. Their listening, their willingness to enter the mystery, will speak to the individuals if they're patient enough to dwell with God in that place. They will have to come down. They will have to get back to work. But this moment invites them just to be. Get wrapped up in the glory. Enter the mystery. Consider it. And be. Here at that place, our Lenten journey begins. Here begins the work of Jesus' passion. Wednesday, we will gather together and bear the heavy burden of the sins we have committed against God, the heavy burden of what Jesus will pay for us, free us from. But before all that can happen, today, you must remember the journey up the mountain, for up there things are different. There's a glory there. There's a mystery to enter into that is as personal as it can be corporate. Indeed, nothing else matters up on that mountain outside of those two things you witness. It matters what you see, and it matters what you bring, sins and all, up there. Because the Messiah is revealed there. His glory is shown to you there. I wonder if you'll be willing to dwell with him long enough to listen to him there. Will you pray with me?